You're hearing me though? This thing, but it's working right now.
Okay. Cool.
All right. It's really wonderful to be with you. It is always wonderful to be in the company of believers. Always wonderful. It's always wonderful to be a part of the worship service. To know that you're part of the one true church. And that in spite of the difficulties, the challenges that we face here, there is the hope of a better life. Can you imagine we live here with all of life ills and all of the tragedies and still have hell to look forward to? But thank God for Jesus Christ, who has given us the hope of life. I trust that you have your Bible. We will tonight be looking into the Word of God. We will be doing some reading to ensure that we get the lesson from God's Word. We are saved Christ's way or not at all. We are saved Jesus' way or not saved at all. In Acts, the 4th chapter, in verse 11 and 12, we find Peter making a statement, and he says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It is clear from this particular passage that through Jesus and only through Him can we receive salvation. There is no other place but heaven and earth. And He has all authority in heaven and earth. And when it was given, or when the authority was given for salvation, Jesus was given that authority. There was a time when they tried to honor two other men on the same platform with Jesus. Do you remember? Matthew 17. And God would have none of it. When they said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And God said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." And when they looked around, Jesus was standing alone. It means that there is no salvation through Moses, nor through the prophets. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no one authorized, or there is no other authority but Jesus who can give salvation. If He is the only one authorized to give salvation, then Jesus Christ is the only one with the authority to say how salvation is obtained. I find, brethren, that when God gives a command, very often or all the time, He's always specific. I managed to read through the Old Testament a few times, and I find that the repetition is almost boring. But God wants to make sure that He tells you the thing over and over again, that you understand exactly what He wants and what He wants you to do. When He gives a command like worship, and man is moved to obey God, God would step in and give specific instruction as to the how of worship. When He gives a specific instruction, He demands complete obedience to the instruction as specified. And anything that is not mentioned in that command should not be done as a part of the command. And anything not mentioned or that is not included is not up for debate, and it's not optional. We need to understand that when God says do this, He wants us to do exactly what He says, the way He says it. God is often so specific that you have to get help to misunderstand what God says. When He gives an instruction, man is not at liberty to add to what He says, nor to subtract. He is not at liberty to change what God says. Whenever man changes even the smallest or the seemingly insignificant part of the instruction, the consequence or consequences are often serious and sometimes deadly. We're going to spend some time looking at God's Word. I hope you have your Bibles. It doesn't matter, brethren, how much we try to justify our actions. God demands complete obedience. Some will disobey and seek to justify by saying, I did that for God's honor, or what I am giving is a gift to God. God, I find when I read the scripture, will not accept from you what He doesn't ask you for. And all that God wants you to give is what He asks you to give. We're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to look at some people. And then we will come to the New Testament. First of all, we go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we look at a king, the first king of Israel, King Saul. In verse number 1 to the verse number 3, the Bible says, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over His people Israel. Now therefore said, heed, pay attention, the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what they did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek, or the Amalekites, and utterly destroy all that they have. I don't believe God could get more clearer than this. Utterly destroy all that they have. Just in case you don't understand what he says, do not spare them, but kill man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, donkey, and camel. God says destroy everything that they have. This was God's punishment for what the Amalekites did. So watch what happened in verse number 7 to verse 9. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites. He took him alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But, verse 9, and this is where we have a problem. Every time God tells you something, you try to justify, but God did not say, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep
Now, do you remember the instruction? Kill sheep, eh? The best of the sheep. Kill the oxen. The best of the oxen he took. The fattening lambs and all that was good and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. God gave him a specific instruction. God said, this is what I want you to do. Then Samuel got a message from God, went to Saul, and he said to him, Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel says, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear? If you have obeyed the voice of the Lord, I should not be hearing any sound. Then Saul said, I have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spare the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. We often try to justify doing what we want to do, saying we are giving something to God. Then Samuel said to him, be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord told me last night. And he said to him, speak on. Verse 17. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Then why, he says, did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you stoop down on the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? I want us to understand that when we refuse to do what God says, like God says it, it becomes evil. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. We have people today, even in our religious world, having a Bible where they are, singing like we sing, and believing, convincing themselves that they are obeying the voice of the Lord. Saul was convinced, or at least convinced himself, that he had obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission. Yes, you did. On which the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, but God told you to kill him. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the best of the plunder of the sheep and oxen, all these things to offer to the Lord. God did not ask you to do that. Verse number 22. So Samuel said to him, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. It doesn't matter what you carry and give. It doesn't matter how much you have contributed to the work of the church. If you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, God has no delight in that gift or that sacrifice. The Bible says in verse number 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. I want when you read that, sometimes we stop there, Brother Mitchell. But if you jump down to verse number 24, this is what you will see. King Saul says, I have sinned. But the only time he recognized that he did something wrong was when the kingship was taken away from him. A lot of us will not realize our sinfulness, our sinful condition, until we hear, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Not following God's instruction, brethren, will affect you. It can extend to your family. It can also affect the rest of the church. We have to make sure that especially what's coming from the pulpit is the word of God. Because we must understand the kind of
power that is behind the pulpit. Because what is said is what the people will believe and what they will obey. And if they obey a lie, then they can't be saved. Are you with me? It's only the truth that can set you free. But if we refuse, brethren, to obey God, to do what He says, the sin can affect us, or you the individual, then extend to your family, and eventually affects the church. Israel, they were, if you will, on a roll. But they were coming through the wilderness, and they were defeating everybody in their way. People who heard about them coming, they trembled with fear, because Israel, they were defeating everybody on their way over. And so they came to a place called Jericho. You remember that? And God told Joshua, He says, that when you go to Jericho, you need to just march around the wall one time for today. For 7 days, 6 days you march one time, but on the seventh day, when you march around the wall, you march seven times, blow the trumpet, and you shout, I will defeat that city for you. But God gave them some instructions. That when you go through Jericho, you don't touch anything over there. And so after the event in Jericho, the Israelites went through and they came up on a little village called Ai, a little city, a little town that was like a walk in the park. And so Joshua and the mighty men went up against them and got a beating. Joshua couldn't understand why they were defeated by this little city. I could send a couple of men up there. He came back in his tent and he fell on his knees and he was praying. God said to him, when sin is in the camp, it's not time to pray. It is to remove the sin. Joshua chapter 6. Let's go to verse number 17. Hear the instruction. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking anything from them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable for destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. That is quite clear, right, Brother Michael? That is clear, right, brethren? Clear instruction. Now, Joshua had some problem because they were losing, or they lost the battle. He came back and he consulted with God, and God told him that it's not prayer time, it's time to do something. Verse 19 of the same Joshua chapter 7. Now Joshua said to Achan, he was the culprit, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Listen to him. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord of God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Now we can conclude from this, but that's just a simple little thing, eh? It's just a little piece of gold, and you know, the man might just need the clothes, eh? We can try to justify that nothing is wrong with that. But I want us to understand that when God gives an instruction, we need to follow what God says, do exactly what God says. In verse number 24, the Bible says, then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. Stay with me. The son of Zer, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stone, and they burned them with fire after they have stoned them. See, God told him, don't touch it. He brought trouble to Israel. In fact, I want us to understand that when we choose to disobey God, sin will enter the camp. And then when God's army is losing, it's not the army that looks bad enough. It is God who looks bad. Because God is coming with the army with a reputation that he is a deliverer and he will always be victorious. And so, he suffered as a result of disobedience. Looking at that from an observer's perspective, through the eyes of man, we can say that was extreme. But to disobey God and not follow his instruction is disrespectful, and it is very dishonoring to God. There are consequences for disobeying, even when we get the right results. Are you with me? Even when we get the desired result, there are consequences. Moses is my example. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 8, the Bible says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, and he said to him, 'Take the rod with you, and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock.'" You see, you hear that? "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water, or water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." Watch what Moses did. He took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Verse 9 to 11. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, "When it's time to do God's will, don't get too emotional. Don't allow people to get under your skin. Because even when even when they get to you, Brother Mitchell, it doesn't justify disobeying God." In verse number 11, Moses lifted up his hand. Earlier, verse 10, he brought Aaron to the rock and he said, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water out of this rock for you?" He brought himself into it. And you know, his pride took over. His emotion overwhelmed him. And then he lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod. Water came abundantly. The congregation drank, as well as the animal. But that's not what God told him to do. He got the result. But he didn't do what God says, like God said it. Now watch what happened. Verse number 12 of the same Numbers 20. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not believe me, because you did not obey me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, you shall not bring this assembly over into the promised land.'" God is very serious when it comes to obedience. You will see it, but you will not enjoy it. And we can justify this, my brother, and we can say, well, if anybody deserved to make it to the promised land, it would be Moses. The guy goes through training for 40 years just for this, and he didn't make it. Why? He did not do what God said. You know, part of the problem we have in our modern day religious world is that we think of God like how we think. You know, like it, you know, Brother Brown, it doesn't really matter, you know, anything. But we need to understand who God is. And understand that we are beneath him. And his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. And so when we can, in our own, you know, finite minds, try to justify what we do, it doesn't work in the presence of God. There are many examples, brethren, that we can pull out to help us to understand the seriousness of following God and following His instruction exactly the way He said it. You know, we hear about Nadab and Abihu. You remember that those two guys in the book of Leviticus chapter 10? Earlier, God told them where to get the fire from, and the Bible says Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, they used fire that God did not command, and when they did that, God consumed them with fire from Himself. But I want to cite another one before we come to the New Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 13, there were two prophets. And there was this young prophet that God sent to Bethel to talk to a king and tell the king that something was going to happen. And when he pronounced a curse on the altar, the king stretched out his hand and said, "Seize him." And his hand, you know, it withered up. And he couldn't pull it in back. And the king asked the prophet to intercede on his behalf so that his hand could be restored, and he did. And the king invited the young prophet back home. The verse is number 7. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." But the man of God said to the king, "If you were to give me half your house, I would not come home with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. Why? For so I was commanded. It was commanded me by the Lord," verse number 9, "by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way you came." And the Bible says, so he went another way, did not return the way he came. So far, he's doing good. But then there was this old prophet that heard what happened at the altar. And he asked his son which direction the prophet went. And he said, "Well, saddle my donkey." And he went in and chased him down. Then he said to him, verse number 15, "Come and eat bread with me." And he said, "I cannot return with you, nor go with you. Neither can I break bread or drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came." He's doing well so far. He said to him, "I too am a prophet. As a preacher for these many years, I am sometimes wary of those who walk around with this thing they call the Bible." He said to him, "I too am a prophet. And an angel of the Lord spoke to me and told me." But I hear the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1 and verse number 6. He says, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Then he says, "As I have said before, so I say again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." He said to him, "I too am a prophet, and an angel of the Lord spoke to me." But he was lying. I want us to understand that we have some liars out there claiming to be proclaimers of the truth and saying the opposite of what God says. "I too am a prophet," he said. And so he convinced this man. You know, that's part of the problem too. Now, hear me now. If God told you, right, that this is what you must not do, brother, and then you're going to hear another message, a message that is in opposition to what God tells you. The only way I am going to obey that is if God himself come and tell me that I change the message. And so he went back with this old prophet. And he sat down and ate. And while he was eating, you can read the entire thing. The word of the Lord came not to the young prophet. I want us to understand that God has a way of just not talking to us when we start to do what we want to do. You with me? And so the word of God didn't come to the young prophet. It came to the old prophet. And it was revealed to him that this young man is not going back home. And so God told him that he was going to die. And the Bible says, and when he went down the road on his donkey, a lion met him and killed him. And that's where he was buried. When God gives you an instruction, it doesn't matter how long the guy has been preaching. I don't care if he has degrees behind him like a thermometer. You need to listen what God says. Don't tell me about your experience and where you went. I want to hear what God says, because in the end, I am going to be judged by the word of God. I am going to be judged by what Jesus said. Jesus says, he who rejects me and obeys not my word has that which judges him. The words I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. And so we need to listen to the word of God. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. Salvation is God's way, and that is the only way. Today, there are many places, if you will, and many ways being offered for worship and salvation. It has gotten so bad that some of these places don't even have a name. They just call it a something center. And so anybody can turn up. And how you become a part of this is probably if you attend 3 times in a row. It's like a club. They don't demand commitment just for you to come anytime you have the time or whenever you please. You can choose the one that you like and be saved the way that is convenient to you. But I still hear the echo of Peter almost 2,000 years later when he says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The only name, the only authority that can provide salvation is Jesus Christ. The place and the how of salvation has never been left up to man to decide. Stay with me. Ephesians chapter 2. We pick up at verse number 14. Paul writing this letter to a church in Asia Minor. A church that was deemed the faithful church by John in Revelation. And in verse number 14, the Bible says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle walls of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law and the commandment contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God, where? In one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God decided that he was going to save both in one body. Well, who both, if you will? You see, God was not prepared to save the Jews as Jews and the Gentiles as Gentiles. He had no plan to save the Jews in one body and the Gentiles in another body. God was not prepared to save the Jews one way and the Gentiles another way. He was not willing to save them separate. And the Bible says the dividing wall of the law and the commandment, Jesus Christ took that away and saved both the Jews and the Gentiles in one body. I want you to note carefully that both are reconciled. Both are friends with God in one body. The body is the church. Brethren and friends, and the saved are added to the church. You know, sometimes we don't like to speak the truth or hear the truth. We want to be politically correct and religiously accommodating. But the Bible tells us that the church is the body and the saved are added to the church. Well, if you don't believe me, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Peter says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." The Bible says, "And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Peter, I believe, having a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit, knew exactly what to say. He says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins." Verse 41, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Verse 47, "Praising God, and having favored all the people, and the Lord added to" what? Not a church, but the church. I say it this way. The fact that it says the church means that church was mentioned before, and those who were added knew exactly what they were being added to. The Lord added them to the church. The saved are added to the church. But the saved are saved a specific way. Let me say that again. The saved are added to the church. But those who are saved, they are saved a specific way. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19 from verse number 1 to about verse number 5. Paul, the Bible, is talking about on his at Ephesus. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Well, if you haven't heard about the Holy Spirit, then into what then were you baptized? Because there's no way you could be baptized the right way and not hear nothing about the Holy Spirit." It makes sense? So Paul says, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul went on to explain what that is. He said, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus." So the baptism of John was to prepare people for Jesus to come. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, I know I don't have all night, but hang around with me a little bit. John's baptism is identical in form to the baptism done in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? The baptizer would baptize the candidate the same way. You with me? The difference is in what the candidate obeys. Are you with me? The difference is in what the candidate has been taught. You can't be taught wrong and then obey right. That don't even make good nonsense. And so, when they heard that, the Bible says they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, I want us to understand that in the name of Jesus is not something said. But in the name of Jesus is something done. Because Jesus authorizes a particular baptism that saves us today. And if you are not baptized by the one that is authorized by Jesus, then you have to do it. I wouldn't say do it again, you know, because you didn't do it before. Because if you didn't do it right the first place, then you didn't do it at all. And that is why you are saved God's way or no way at all.
to be saved and to be added to the church, you must follow a specific pattern. Stay with me, brethren. Romans chapter 6. Let's pick up at verse number 16. Romans, the 6th chapter. And if you look at verse number 16 and verse number 17, Paul said to them, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slave to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" What he's saying is that as children of God, you are no longer a servant of sin and a slave of unrighteousness, but now you are a servant of righteousness. Verse number 17. "But God be thanked that though you are slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." I always tell people, especially in my congregation, when you read the Word of God, pay attention to the Word. Pay attention to the wording. The Bible said, "You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." Stay with me. That form that is obeyed from the heart is like a mold. That form is a pattern. When you go down in the mold, you come up looking like the mold. You take on the likeness or the form of that mold. Well, when did that happen? Back up to verse number 3. Verse number 3, Paul says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, then certainly we must be in the likeness of his resurrection." You can't be in his likeness without first going down in the mold to come up looking like him. So you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. I want you to understand that when you obey the process of baptism, it's something that is done with the heart. And so when the heart changes to that form, it looks like that Jesus. Are you with me? And so baptism, the way for salvation, the way to be saved, takes on a specific form, a specific pattern. There is one way to be saved, and that is Jesus' way. God the Father confirmed Jesus' authority. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, Jesus himself says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Peter endorses this when he says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." Paul the Apostle confirms this as well. He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Jesus is the only one who has been given a name, given the authority that is above every other. And at his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Well, if every knee shall bow at his authority, then he is the one in charge. Now watch me. Every example in the New Testament of someone being saved is done the same way. Every single one of them. And if you can find one that is different from the others, you please show me. Every single one is the same. Let's look at a few, and I bid you good night. Jesus, after saying that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, authorizes the baptism. Are you with me? He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem because they would receive power from on high.
And he told them to tarry in Jerusalem because they have something that they would receive. I'm not going to get into people who are still tarrying, but you know, common sense is not very common. And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter waited and the Holy Spirit came and it gave them utterance to speak in the various languages of the people who existed in Jerusalem. So we find that speaking in tongues by the utterance given by the Holy Spirit is a language that could be understood. When they heard it, they said, how is it that we hear them speak in our own tongue the what? The wonderful work of God. If they couldn't understand it, then it couldn't be wonderful. And so when Peter preached that Jesus Christ is Lord, when Peter preached that Jesus Christ was crucified by them and that they are responsible for killing Jesus, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We find that they were baptized. The Lord added them to the church who were being saved. Let's go over a little bit further. Philip found this man coming from Jerusalem, going back to Ethiopia. He was reading the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53. And Philip ran to him and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, well, how can I except someone should guide me? And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, of whom the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And he began at that same scripture, and he preached who?
Jesus.
There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He preached Jesus unto him. And as they went down the road, the Bible says they came to some water. I want us to understand this. It wasn't Philip that suggested that he be baptized. Are you with me? When he preached Jesus, the eunuch says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? It tells me that when Philip preached Jesus, baptism was in the preaching. The mold was in the preaching. The pattern was in the preaching. And the eunuch recognized that I must do something. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Again, it suggests that there was enough for two to go down into. When you get to the book of Acts chapter 16, you find Paul and Silas being thrown in jail. And they were at midnight, they were there and they were singing and they were praying. Are you with me? So they were listening to the prayers and the singing. I want us to understand that when you have God with you, you know, all else could be breaking loose around you, but you can just sing and pray. Stay with me. And they were singing and they were praying. These guys were in jail. They didn't protest their innocence and call my lawyer. They were singing and they were praying. And an earthquake came and shook the foundation of the prison, opened the doors, and the jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped. Paul says, we are all here. They came, fell down before Paul. What must we do? What must I do? And Paul says, believe on the Lord. Some knucklehead grabbed that verse, run with it, and forget everything else. And the Bible tells me that he preached Jesus. You see, faith comes by hearing. You can't respond to what you don't hear. Don't make sense either, right? And so he preached Jesus to him. And he and his household, they were baptized that very same night. We find another example of somebody doing what they did on the day of Pentecost, the same pattern, the same mold. The word of God must first be preached, and the candidate must believe and be willing to change. But if you back up to chapter 10 of the same book of Acts, we find Cornelius, a good man, a devoted man. The Bible says he feared God along with his house. The Bible says he was a worshiper and he was kind. I wouldn't mind having him as a neighbor. He was kind and he gave to the poor. And the angel of the Lord came to him and gave him some instruction as to how to find salvation. God says, send one to Joppa and ask for one Peter. Stay with me. whose surname is Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon at Tanna, and the house is by the sea. You have to get help not to find Peter. And so when Peter came to him, the Holy Spirit fell on him before he was baptized. You with me? But the reason God did that was to show that God also accepted the Gentiles, because up to this point it was all Jews in the church and proselytes. And so Peter says, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized? Everybody keep quiet. Cornelius, who was a churchgoer, who gave contribution to build a church building, who gave to the poor, he had to be baptized in spite of all his goodness. In fact, God said to Peter through the angel that he prays, that his prayer has come up before me as a memorial. In other words, God recognized this man. And yet he had to be baptized, even though he got the gift of the Spirit before he was baptized. He had to be baptized. Every single one of them. Paul, Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias came to him. Why are you waiting? 72 hours, this guy was there preaching about that. Ananias says, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I emphasize baptism because there are a lot of people who are going out into eternity confident because they are a part of some organization, thinking that they are all right, not obeying the voice of the Lord. You can only be saved God's way, or you are not saved at all.
Amen.
But there is one body.
Amen.
There is one God, one Lord, one body, one faith, one baptism, one hope.
Amen.
And brethren, those of you who think the one baptism is not one baptized one time, it's one right one.
That's right.
Because if you didn't do it right before, you didn't do it at all.
That's right.
So the same way there is one body, that there is one God, there is one, and I can't understand. Why is it that we can't understand? There is one God, and there is one Lord, there is one baptism.
Right.
But when it's whichever one body, well, you know, start to scratch your head, you know, there. One mean one.
Amen.
In all cases.
Amen.
And you can't get any more out of that but one.
Right.
So you're saved God's way, or you're not saved at all.
Right.
Finally, Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. For me, I don't know about you, but for me, this is the most shocking passage in the New Testament. When he was concluding the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that started with, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, and all the wonderful things. And it ended with this. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who what?
Doeth.
Does the will of my Father.
Amen.
That passage is so serious that Jesus continued with something like a commentary.
That's right.
For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, were we not friends? Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Well, if it was done in his name, he wouldn't say, depart.
That's right.
Which tells me that there are individuals who believe, convince themselves that they are doing it in the name of Jesus. But they are not, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Did we not do this in your name? Then he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. If it is done in the name of Jesus, it has to be sanctioned by
Amen.
God's word.
Amen.
We need to go back to the time when everything and anything we do, we can find it in God's word.
Amen.
It's not a matter of how I feel. And no, times are changing. And well, God remains the same.
Amen.
The Bible says, grass will wither, flowers will fade, but the word of God will stand forever. And even when we change country and we change culture, God's word remains the same. And you're saved God's way, or you're not saved at all. So tonight, if you believe that you are saved, but you realize that the pattern is not like the New Testament pattern, well, I know that means word. You're not saved.
That's right. That's right, brother. That's right.
You're just not saved.
That's right.
John's disciples recognized that.
Uh-huh.
And the Bible says when they heard, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. One of the reasons a lot of people don't come to God is because of their pride.
That's right.
Pride.
That's right.
You just can't step out. Well, he says, if you are ashamed of me, then I will be ashamed of you.
Right.
And so tonight,
amen,
if you have not been baptized, you need to believe God's word. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God sent Christ to die for you, and he did. Be willing to change your mind, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized. To go down in water, to be buried with Christ, to rise, to walk in a new life. That's what you need to do if you have not been baptized. But if you have been baptized and you have wandered away like the prodigal son, well, I believe that your father is there looking out for you to come back.
Amen.
Will you come back home?
Amen.
That is the way you become saved again.
That's right.
If you have been saved before and you walk away from the family, to come back. Confess your sins, rededicate your life,
amen,
and become one with God again.
Amen.
There is no time like now.
That's right.
I have a sad story. I think I told it so many times and I will not stop.
That's right.
2017, March 3, was my father's birthday. It was a day when he decided he was going to sit down and have a study of God's word.
Uh-huh.
That was the day he decided to. Brother Kidu was the person assigned to undertake that study.
Mm-hmm.
On his way from Kingston, my mother called him, told him not to come. And my father got sick, and they took him to the doctor. They took him to Linstead, to a private doctor, and they sent him off to university. He didn't come back home. The day he decided to sit down and study God's word was the day he stepped out of time into eternity. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, you don't. So tonight, you may have just been brought here just for this reason,
amen,
this purpose.
Amen.
To do something that you should have done long, long time ago.
That's right.
You're either with God or you're not.
That's right.
And so we're going to stand together. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And we invite you to come. 576. Will you come to him? Come tonight. Come and be saved tonight, God's way. Is there one tonight?